It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Every number tells a story, and that's especially true for the numbers on sports jerseys.
Sports Illustrated just published Any Given Number, a rating of the best players for each uniform number from 00 to 99 for all sports.
For example, of all the athletes who shared the number 4 jersey, who would be rated best? Was it Brett Favre or somebody else? To help start some arguments, we have Sports Illustrated staff writer Stephen Canella with us. He co-edited Any Given Number, Who Wore It Best from 00 to 99. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, looking at which athlete wore it best, you have the difficult apples to oranges thing here. How do you compare the great football players, basketball, hockey, baseball, soccer? How do you compare across sports like that?
Yeah, it's difficult. And we do these books thinking we're going to settle a lot of arguments, and I think basically we created 100 new ones. Really, at its heart, this is a fun book, and it's a fun debate, and there is no way to compare what a baseball player does to what a football player does to what a basketball player does, et cetera. But, we went into this thinking, who is most identified with the number? If you went number by number and had to pick the one athlete who you instantly associate most with that number for their excellence on the field, and also as sort of pop culture icons, that was our basic criteria going in. So as you can tell, we really narrowed it down.
It sounds like it was a lot of fun. It probably started arguments. Did it end any friendships behind the scenes there?
No friendships ended. Maybe strained would be a way to put it. We did have a lot of fun putting this together. It was Bill Sykin, one of our writers, and I were sort of the main organizers of this, but we spent a lot of time canvassing opinion of people we work with and people we don't work with. People who are our friends out in the field and our fellow sports fans. I mean, that's really what we're hoping this book is just these sort of the ultimate sports bar debate. These are the kind of things that fans talk about, and they're fun to debate, even if there is no right answer and there's no wrong answer.
Well, I'm sure you're going to get some angry feedback, and let's start here in Wisconsin with number 4.
Yeah,
Brett Favre, legend. Packers quarterback is in your debate section for number 4. He didn't win, though.
He did not, and Brett had the unfortunate task of going up against really an all-time great in any sport. Now, yes, Wisconsin fans, Brett Favre is an all-time great himself, but Bobby Orr is someone who really revolutionized the sport of hockey. He changed the way the game was played. He transcended the NHL and became sort of a cultural icon in his own right in the 1970s, both for one very famous picture of him flying across the ice after he scored the game-winning Stanley Cup-winning goal in 1972. As great as Brett Favre's resume was, we felt he didn't quite measure up to Bobby Orr, but he made the list of finalists, which is still pretty good.
Well, you make the point, while Brett Favre may have been a great within the game, Bobby Orr as a scoring defenseman changed the way the game was played.
Absolutely. He played, before Bobby Orr came along, defensemen were just that, defensemen. They weren't expected to be offensive weapons. Bobby Orr, in addition to being a terrific defensive player, played offense, almost as well as Wayne Gretzky did. He skated with a kind of flair and fluidity that we really hadn't seen from defensemen to that point in hockey. And you can draw a direct line from the way Bobby Orr plays to the way someone like P.K. Subban does now for the Montreal Canadiens, a great offensive threat from the defensive end.
Well, now the soccer, the rest of the world calls it football, World Cup is coming up, and that takes us to number 10, a number strangely dominated by soccer. There are soccer number 10 jerseys springing up in my house as everybody took me a while to learn his first name because all the kids in my kid's school just call him Messi, Lionel Messi. But he's not the soccer player who won in the number 10 slot.
No, you got to go. I mean, as great as Lionel Messi is, I think I'm saying his name correctly there.
I'm probably not.
as great as Messi is, and another guy who wore number 10, Diego Maradona, another all-time soccer or football great, neither of them quite measures up to Pele, a guy who not only was an incredible player, but I think even more than Messi and Maradona became sort of an international, cultural figure. The name Pele still resonates today. He's still, he was on The Daily Show a few weeks ago. This guy is still, when people think soccer in this country, Pele is often the first name they still think about. And he's one of those, we often talk about athletes or people who reach the level of being, someone you use to describe others. You're the Michael Jordan of doctors or something like that. People still use the phrase. He's the Pelé of doctors. He's the Pelé of writers. He's a standard of excellence that people understand, even if you're not a huge soccer fan.
Well, let's move up to a number that I imagine you didn't have a lot of debate about, the number Michael Jordan wore, number 23. Was this a slam dunk?
Absolutely. And there were a few numbers like that. 23 is instantly recognizable as Michael Jordan's, 99 instantly recognizable as Wayne Gretzky. We were happy to get to those numbers because we didn't have to spend a whole lot of time
fighting.
Debating those. There were no friendships strained over that.
There's a story I didn't know behind how he picked that number.
Michael Jordan's number. He basically cut a number in half from high school, I believe. And it's funny how he just some numbers just become iconic in their own right, so much so that when he came back after his brief retirement and his dabbling with baseball, he switched to 45 for a brief time, and partly that was because he wanted to kind of start a new life for himself and didn't want to have to live up to the status he set as a number 23.
It's interesting what numbers can mean to the players. You mentioned Jaromír Jágr from the world of hockey. He's from Czechoslovakia and picked the number representing the Prague Spring and the year his father died after being jailed in that uprising. You also talk about sometimes players bribing each other to get numbers from them.
Yeah. This is the other great thing about uniform numbers is just how intensely personal they are. They're personal as fans, and that you always remember the numbers of your favorite players when you're growing up. But the players take this completely seriously themselves. And there's sort of a cottage industry in professional sports of players sort of getting traded to a team where a number they've had their whole career might already be taken. And so there has to be some horse trading to try to get that number with the new team. So we've heard guys who get paid in gold watches, get paid in cash. My favorite is the pitcher who lived out in Arizona, and he demanded the teammate build him an outdoor kitchen to give up his number for it.
We've got a caller on the line. We've got John in Windsor with an issue to bring up. John, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was wondering, like a guy like Oscar Robertson, who was inferentially the best basketball player of all time, he had two numbers. He had number one when he was with Milwaukee Bucks, and I'm not sure. I think he had like number 33 or number 35 when he was with the Cincinnati Royals. So what did you do with a guy like that?
They were tricky. There were a lot of players like that. Basically, we went with the number that a player wore for the majority of his career, or where he had sort of his most success, or where you would reasonably most identify the prime of his career with that number. So another guy like that was Otto Graham, who wore a couple different numbers, and some of these, there were several players. Shaquille O'Neal is one of them who have worn three or four numbers, and you can make a case for him at several of those numbers, and they sort of hurt their own arguments by not having a full career at one particular number. Shaq is one guy who sort of cost himself at a couple spots by switching numbers so often.
And LeBron James lost to Bill Russell and Michael Jordan in both the numbers he's worn.
Exactly. Although if we do this book in 10 years, LeBron might overtake one of those guys.
Well, was there one that broke your heart as you're going through this? Is there one that you wanted your guy on top of the list for a number and just didn't get it?
Well, 32 was kind of our among our most difficult numbers, only because someone was going to have to be an unfortunate loser at that. Our candidates there are Sandy Koufax, one of the all-time great pitchers, Magic Johnson, arguably, he's on the short list of the greatest NBA players ever, and Jim Brown, arguably the greatest NFL running back ever. We ended up going with Jim Brown, so, it seems a shame to do a book like this where someone like Magic Johnson and Sandy Koufax doesn't get to be a winner. This might be the only time they didn't win anything, but the heartbreaking thing for me there was my favorite player growing up was the pitcher for the Phillies, Steve Carlton, also wore 32. I would have loved to get him some love at some point in this book, but he barely even enters in the conversation at 32.
All right, well, lots of other conversations will come from this book. Steven, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Sports Illustrated staff writer Steven Canella. He's part of the team that put together the book we've been talking about. It's called Any Given Number, Who Wore It Best from 00 to 99.